Mayfield to throw it. Pump fake. Guns it over the middle and caught by Hollywood Brown. Still running. Hollywood Brown all the way. Touchdown, Oklahoma. 84 yards.
Been a long time, y'all, but we really shouldn't have, but we're back. It's been a while. We got some news for you. Of course, this is Kyle Andrews. Welcome to the Mobtown Blitz podcast. You can follow me on Twitter at @KyleJAndrews_. And then I'm joined today by Anthony Barkley. You already know who it is. Unfortunately, Eric couldn't join us today. He's out of town, but you know, we hope to be back a little bit more. What's up, Anthony?
What's going on, man? Sorry to leave y'all hanging. Sorry to, you know, leave y'all waiting for a nice pod, but we've been out here securing the bag and getting botched DJing gigs. like Kyle said, I'm Anthony Barkley. You can find me on Twitter at A Barkley, AYEEBARKLEY.
So, as always, we are proud to do this podcast for one of the top sports websites in the district, DMVSportsNetwork.com, and they can be followed on Twitter and Instagram at DMV_SN. They have some great daily content on all things DC and Baltimore sports and great daily stuff in addition to college sports. And a lot more. So after you listen to this podcast, please go ahead and check it out. In addition, you already know you got to subscribe to our show, Mobtown Blitz, and also our other shows on DMV Sports Network on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and SoundCloud. Without further ado, let's get right into it. So it's been a lot of stuff going on. I mean, I think we just got to talk about the personal stuff really quickly. Let's just get that out of the way. So, if you all haven't noticed, I had a big milestone. I work for the Baltimore Sun Media Group now. I'm no longer employed by 105.7. That was a great run. I appreciate everybody. I wanted to give everyone a shout out, especially people like Gabrielle DePaula, who I worked with a lot. Jerry Coleman. Another person I worked with a lot. He taught me a great deal of things, so I appreciate him a lot. I want to give Chuck Sapienza, my former boss, I want to give him a shout-out as well. Also, Kevin Zwicker. Kevin, every time I needed something in the office, you know, he would always be there for me, and just, you know, I could go to him about everything. But specifically Gabby, because Gabby would go – I mean, Gabby went the extra mile when it came to everything. She would put in all this effort. And, you know, she would put us all to shame, honestly. So she deserves so much of the credit for all the success that I had when I worked at 105.7, because she would teach me things that I didn't know about. And the way that she conducted herself, that's a real professional right there. So I appreciate her. And I'm always going to remember all the great times that I had and the, you know, almost a year that I worked there. So I definitely appreciate that. But now I'm covering high school sports for the Baltimore Sun Media Group. It's been going pretty well, so I'm going to enjoy that. And Anthony, what have you been up to?
Well, you ain't the only one over here chasing the bag. Excuse me. I myself have been busy booking myself a couple DJing gigs every now and then. I got one lined up for next weekend, and I had one last weekend. We're not going to talk about last weekend. That one was just disaster. Just horrible people. Never work with them again. The worst business people I've ever dealt with in my life. So unprofessional, so rude. Anyway, so that's what I've been up to. Out here trying to secure a bag and another aspect in life, but it's always nice to come back to the pod because this is something I really want to do for an actual career. So Now we got our personal business out the way. Let's talk about some things that's happened with our beloved Ravens. Apparently the draft happened.
Yeah, the draft that we didn't even get to talk about. We're going to definitely talk about the draft because, I mean, we were out for I don't know how long. Draft happened. We were just in limbo, kind of. I mean, we also were really busy. We had a lot of stuff going on, all three of us. The biggest thing is that, first of all, we got to start off with Marquise Brown. Marquise Brown, me personally, I think the fact that you got to – when you get a guy that was that explosive, he reminds me of DeSean Jackson. You could get the ball in his hands, put him in space, and then he's gone. He could take it. The only thing that concerns – I guess a little bit of concerns for me when it comes to him. I mean, I've heard some people say he was a product of the Oklahoma offense. I disagree with that because he was a home run hitter. No one in Oklahoma's receiving corps was doing what he did. So, I mean, you could call him a product of the offense all you want. I mean, but I disagree with that. One thing I will say is that I'm kind of concerned about maybe his injuries. Like, how healthy can he stay? If he can stay healthy, cool. But he also had that foot injury that is a little bit concerning that, may hold him out until training camp. And he'll be a little bit behind when it comes to, building that rapport with Lamar Jackson and, building that rapport with some of the other receivers on the team, just with that route running ability.
When I was watching the draft and I was just hoping for a wide receiver. I wasn't really that big on DK Metcalf, and obviously where he fell, a lot of people weren't that big on him either. So I was either hoping for AJ Brown. I really was pushing for Marquise Brown. I thought that would have been the wide receiver, but I just thought he would have been long gone before we had got the chance to pick. And then so not only did we get a stud wide receiver, we actually got more picks. Eric DaCosta pulled the Ozzie Newsome move and trading back and picking up some extra picks and then still getting the guy that they want. You know how they say let the draft board fall to him? And it did when we picked up Marquise. So, I mean, I was pretty excited about that. Is he a little short? Yeah. Is he a little light for the AFC North? Yeah, those things kind of concern me. And then the foot injury as well, that really, is a question mark. But if the medical staff is, okay to him and they're high on him, I just hope that they really actually take the time to develop a wide receiver because we don't really necessarily have the best history of drafting receivers. So let him eat with Lamar. Let him, build up that rapport. And I think the Ravens got a good one in the first round. And moving on, since we didn't get a second round pick because that's, what we got Lamar. We picked up Jalen Ferguson, as they call him, Sack Daddy, which I'm not going to call a grown man Sack Daddy. From Louisiana Tech, I was not too really sure who he was, but I found out that he led, all NCAA in sacks. So, that's something that that's what we need. We definitely need a pass rusher, but, the Ravens definitely addressed pass rushers, post-draft, but we'll talk about that a little later too. So I was really happy about that. The other pick that I was really excited about was the Miles Boykin pick. A big guy, as a 6-foot guy who used to play receiver, I kind of like my receivers to be like 6 feet, but, we all don't really have that genetics. So to have a big guy who has the speed and who has the big time hands and that can win you the one-on-one jump balls, that I think that's really crucial, and that's going to help Lamar and to bail him out. Maybe he could be a faster Anquan Boldin. We'll see. What do you think about the third round?
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to Jalen Ferguson and then Miles Boykin, I'm not calling him Sack Daddy. I'm sorry, Jalen Ferguson. I cannot call you Sack Daddy. I don't even call my father Daddy, so I will not call anyone else Daddy. As that said, Jalen Ferguson kind of reminds me of Jalen Ferguson.
Sounds like you said Galen Ferguson.
Oh, my goodness. You are terrible. Jalen Ferguson reminds me a lot of, you know, when you get guys like that, and specifically getting guys from Louisiana Tech, you remember Kenneth Dixon also broke a really prominent record. You remember we had...
That's not really a good look.
I know that, but that's what I'm saying, though. That's why I'm like, you got to take... I feel like you got to take that with a grain of salt because he played in the Conference USA. But at the same time, his technique, he seemed more like a football player, whereas Kenneth Dixon was a football player then too. But I mean, I feel like Kenneth Dixon was, when he was in college, he was so athletic, you know, whereas like Jalen Ferguson just makes plays. He's just a playmaker when it comes to, you know, college, and he had a nose for the football. That's the kind of guy you want on the field. Maybe his athleticism might be a knock against him, but, you know, the way I look at him, I'm like, eh, you know, you could get over it when you got a guy that's a heady football player. I feel like too often sometimes the Ravens would draft, and this was like back in the past, they would get guys that were, you know, more or less athletes than they were football players. Jalen Ferguson's a football player. To me, Miles Boykin is also a football player. I know everybody always talks about his speed. And his size, they're like, okay, he has the athletic talent right there, like with his speed and size. But I'm like, this dude is a hands catcher. Every catch that I saw Miles Boykin make in his Notre Dame tape, I'm like, that dude catches with his hands. That is a very good pick in my personal belief. I mean, I think that was the best value that you possibly could have made in the third round right there. You get two guys that are football players. You know, they make plays. They know how to do things. They're heady players. Miles Boykin, every time when I heard him talk after the introductory press conferences, Miles Boykin was just front and center, you know, answering to the media, talking to everybody and saying, hey, look, I'm here to put in work. Same thing with Jalen Ferguson. I think it was a very good pick.
The thing that you, like, said that got me, like, yes, 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 like, he catches with his hands. I think someone, like I said, like used to play, I mean, I'm not really like a big time player, but someone who used to play, I can't stress the importance of catching with your hands. It drives me crazy when I like watch TV or like I'll see some of these people play and they try to catch with their bodies. Like I will literally like jump and scream at the TV or I'll like scream while I'm in the stadium. Like, yo, use your hands. Like, oh, that drives me crazy when like receivers don't catch with their hands. But we're going on to the fourth round now. Justice Hill, the running back out of Oklahoma State. I'm okay with the pick. Not the guy who I personally wanted. I wanted Bryce Love, and Bryce Love got picked right before Justice did. So Bryce Love went to the Redskins, and like that's the guy. I mean, as you and I are Pac-12 fans, so we have seen him completely burned both of our defenses. So we know what the kind of guy that Bryce Love can be. I have seen some tape of Justice Hill. I'm not really too sure about a running back that comes in a very pass-happy conference. The Big 12 is like the conference for air raid offense. That's all they do over there. But I've seen some of his highlights. I have watched a couple of Oklahoma State games. The thing that's going to be really interesting is you got an Oklahoma State running back, and like a good chunk of that offensive line went to OU. So I want to know what the kind of banners are going to be between like the OU guys and Justice Hill. And then also in the fourth round, we got an Oklahoma offensive lineman, but not the lineman that everyone thought we were going to get. A lot of people linked us to getting Cody Ford. We wound up getting Ben Powers. Which, I mean, if you got anyone from that Oklahoma offensive line, you're good. That was one of the most solid O-lines in all of college football. So what did you think about the nab of Ben Powers, and you're going to put him next to Zeus Jr.?
So I think Ben Powers is a very good pickup. And the reason why I say that Ben Powers is a good pickup was because he wants to take people's heads off, you know. He was, I think he said something like, I want to crush a grown man's dreams. That, to me, is what you want in an offensive lineman, somebody that's going to take their head off. That's the kind of guy you want. He's going to fight through everything. Ironically enough, he was a Steelers fan at one point. But that's all gone. Yep, his whole family now, they actually switched over to being Ravens fans.
In that purple black now, baby.
So, I mean, I think to me, that was cool that, like, you know, he kind of – his nickname was also Big Ben. So, the Ravens have their Big Ben, who ironically was a Steelers fan. And, you know, the Steelers have their Big Ben. But, you know, that's neither here nor
Boo
there.
That
but,
man.
Boo! But, yeah, like, I mean, when it comes to Justice Hill, I look at him and I'm like, you know, they needed somebody that could diversify the offense. I think that when you couldn't get Darrell Henderson, the next best thing.
That was your guy, man.
Darrell Henderson was.
That was your guy.
Darrell Henderson was everybody's guy.
No, that was your guy.
No. When I talked to Emory Hunt from Emory Hunt runs footballgameplan.com, and that was on our other podcast with Joe Serpico, but Emory was talking about Darrell Henderson, and he was like, this dude is a burner.
Yeah.
And I was like,
I've seen this tape, yeah.
And he was like, I asked him, I was like, I believe I asked him about him possibly coming to the Ravens. And I was talking to Joe about this, and I was like, and I mean, the Eagles, they also needed a running back. So Joe was clamoring for that. But like, I'm thinking to myself, if you put a speed guy with Lamar's speed too, along, like, they're together. I'm
every
just like,
option game is going to be filthy.
I mean, it's one of the best. I think with Justice Hill, it's going to be like the running game is going to be just as good. I think Darrell Henderson to me as a pass catcher would have been a little bit more dangerous than Justice Hill is. But I mean, you know, I still think they made, I mean, at that point with Darrell Henderson off the board, I think he made the right decision because Bryce Love. If we were talking about Bryce Love a couple of years ago, no injuries,
he would have been like a third or second round great before the injuries, and those things just suck.
Yeah, I mean, like if he was healthy, I would have been like, yeah. But Justice Hill, yeah, I think that's a very good pick. You made the right decision in that standpoint. And then after that, in the fifth round,
still in the fourth. Yeah, Iman Marshall.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about Iman Marshall. I'm sorry about that because I think that he's going to be playing safety in the league sometime soon. He's a big dude. He's like 6'2", 6'1", 6'2". Really big guy, strong, plays great press coverage. I think that I know everybody gave, you know, the Pac-12 a lot of crap this year.
Oh, yeah.
Because they were not good. Let's be honest. Like, that was not
conference.
Right. That's not the Pac-12 that me and Anthony and no one love because we are huge Pac-12 fans. But I'll tell you what, like, I looked at Iman Marshall, and I'll never forget some of the things that he did when they played against, like, they played against Cal, they played against Oregon, and he would jam up receivers.
I do remember him
playing against Oregon. I mean, like, he wasn't like extremely prominent, but I watched some of his tape against those teams.
We haven't played USC in a long time.
Yeah, I know. But when they had played against them, I remember this guy was jamming guys up, you know, being able to play physically. And I know they're smaller receivers. Like, Cal has smaller receivers. They don't have really gigantic receivers. But, you know, and Oregon has a lot of speed. But so, I mean, that's the kind of thing. He'll beat up on smaller receivers. Bigger receivers, we'll see what happens. But I think he is going to eventually play safety. And if he does play safety, he'll have plus speed as a safety. So you can't be upset with that pick. What are your thoughts on that?
Like I said, I don't really have too much knowledge on Iman Marshall. And, like, I'm a Pac-12 guy, so I don't really check for USC because they're in the Pac-12 South. So, I honestly don't worry about the Pac-12 South until, like, we play the conference championship game, which Oregon hasn't been in a while. So, yeah, I'm not really checking for the Pac-12 South. I mean, I'll take notice of who's up there and, like, who's up there in the division, but my main concern is the Pac-12 North. So, that's why I'm, like, really familiar with Bryce Love. I mean, if what you say is correct. I mean, a big guy. The corners nowadays are getting a little bit taller. They're getting a little bit bigger. I mean, a la Jimmy Smith and Marlon Humphrey. bigger guys. You used to see like the smaller, like the 5'10", 5'11", fast guys that would just mainly try to cover. Now you're seeing bigger guys who also hit because, you know, that stereotype that corners don't like to really tackle or they really aren't good at tackling. I think we're starting to wash that away now. So, I mean, I'm cool with the pick, you know, adds depth to a very – it's a very, very, very deep – that's probably one of our deepest positions is defensive backs and corners. Now, moving on to what I think could possibly be Michael Pierce's replacement because he's getting up there in age.
Michael Pierce is getting up there in age.
Yeah, he's like pushing 30.
Brandon Williams.
Oh, yes. My bad. Brandon Williams replacement. I don't know why I thought Michael Pierce was like pushing 30.
No. Michael Pierce is
26. Oh, all right. Because he's been there so long, I'm just thinking he's like up there. But yeah, Brandon Williams, he's getting up there. I feel like he's been there longer than that.
Yeah, I guess because everybody gets him confused because they like, you know, similar players, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, I would be able to tell, like, the difference. If I saw them in person, I can totally tell who they are differently. But, yeah, so my apologies. Brandon Williams' replacement and Dylan Mack. Dalen Mack out of my pastor's alma mater, Texas A&M. My pastor loves Texas A&M, so I'm pretty sure he was excited about that. A defensive tackle, you know, just – I mean, I guess at this point we're adding depth to our strengths. So, like, our defense, I like that. But let's go to the most head-scratching pick in this entire draft, and it's our last pick. You like it. I am on the fence about it.
Do I really like it?
The way you and I were talking about it, like, over text, you, Eric, and I – well, Eric likes the pick – when we got Trace McSorley,
I hate it. I think it's okay.
I'm just so confused by it.
Can I explain?
I mean, I'll let you explain, but I'm really confused by the pick. I don't understand. We just got Lamar last year. You know, is like Lamar Eric's guy, or you know, I mean, what you know, not to say that Trace is gonna be like the next Tom Brady. All right. When we picked up Trace McSorley, I was just like, oh, okay. Now, had this been a year ago before we had gotten Lamar, I would have been all for it because I was one of Trace's biggest fans. I was like, that guy is a winner. Like, I loved watching him at Penn State. I was like, that's the guy that the Ravens need to draft until we got Lamar. And I was like, oh, dang, like, it would have been dope to have Trace, but we got Lamar, so I'm cool with that. And now we got Lamar and Trace, and I don't understand. And I'm going off of Joy Taylor when she was like, the fans, everyone loves the backup quarterback. And, I mean, you know, hopefully Lamar doesn't struggle, but let's just say Lamar struggles out the gate. Everyone's going to be clamoring for RG3 and Trace McSorley to get in there, and it's going to be a rehashing of what happened in the playoff game against the Chargers last year when they booed this man. But, like, walking on the – like, when he walked on the field, and I'm like, bro, like, if it wasn't for him, we probably wouldn't even be in the position we're in right now. But I'm going to let you explain this whole Trace McSorley pick.
So, my thing with Trace McSorley, I saw a lot of his games because I was forced to, unfortunately. Watching Trace McSorley's games, I saw that this guy's a competitor. Like – He's gonna play all the time. Doesn't matter if he's banged up. Doesn't matter if, you know, he has one leg that he's running on. I think it was a knee issue that he had, and then he was still out there playing. He was banged up, and then this man came out here and was running a 4.640. I can't remember.
I don't really check for quarterbacks.
I mean Trace McSorley. Like, that athleticism that he showed at Penn State, I'm like, this man, I wonder if he could play, like, some sort of slash role that they tried to put Lamar in last year. I think Lamar is a quarterback that was, you know, you can use whatever. I mean, you could say whatever you want. Lamar is a quarterback.
Thank
but
you.
the fact that I'm looking at Trace McSorley and I'm like, huh, maybe he could actually do what they wanted Lamar to do last year with that slash role, except that he could probably do it in the sense that he's also he's a little bit more compact. So I think if you put a little bit more weight on Trace McSorley, if you tell Trace McSorley, go ahead, add like, you know, 10 pounds, like he's 6 feet tall, 210, that would be fine. If he was 210, that's completely fine. So I think you can tell him, okay, go out here, play quarterback for a little bit, some plays. Come out here, play like receiver if we need you to. Come out here and play running back, and then also contribute on special teams sometimes. And I think that's why he got picked.
Maybe they're trying to go the Tyrod Taylor route. And yeah, I knew that's what Eric was talking about. Eric was like, he's going to be out Taysom Hill. And I was just like, yeah, but that only works because Drew Brees is like a bona fide Hall of Fame quarterback. And he knows that like he is solidified as the number one quarterback. Like Taysom Hill and Teddy Bridgewater weren't going to come for Drew Brees' job. Lamar is just in his second year, and he had a solid year. He had a really solid rookie year, despite all the haters, despite all the naysayers. The only quarterback in that whole rookie out of that first round draft pick to make the playoffs. So take that for what you will. You know, you can say whatever you want to say about his defense, but Lamar was the only quarterback that led that team with that same defense that was like dead last in the AFC North to the division championship or division title. I guess if you wanna say like, hey, Trace can be our Tyrod Taylor and Taysom Hill, we can utilize him in these aspects of like these little gadget plays and things like that, and just have him on the bench. I mean, he is mobile, and Trace did win a lot when he was at Penn State. He won a lot less when Saquon went to the NFL, but he lost a lot of weapons and everything like that. But Trace is a bona fide winner, and he could throw the ball. I was a huge Trace McSorley fan, so we'll see. I mean, I still a head scratching pick. I just don't like the notion of picking a quarterback when you just picked a quarterback last year. But that's just me.
I mean, I get where you're coming from, but this isn't the Kirk Cousins and RG3 situation.
That was the same draft.
Yeah, I mean, and not only that, but like Kirk Cousins got picked in the fourth round. When you pick another quarterback in the fourth round, you're practically saying, "Oh yeah, screw you, RG3." You know, that's what I'm thinking. But I mean, with the Ravens picking, like, how many times do 6th round picks get buried? And like the depth chart, they get buried all the time. I mean, he's not gonna start, even make the team,
yeah.
Or even make the team. I mean, like, in all honesty, they get buried in a depth chart. They don't. I mean, they're not gonna. Chances are, he won't start ever. You know, I mean, it's a pretty big chance that he'll never start an NFL football game.
Okay. So Tyrod was a 6th round draft pick, and he started.
I believe Tyrod, if I'm not mistaken, Tyrod was a – I think Tyrod was he a 6th rounder?
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, well, Tyrod was – I feel like Tyrod was also a better passer than Trace is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, when I look at guys like Trace McSorley, I'm like, okay, he could come in, contribute on in a different, you know, role than we're used to. But now we're going to go move on to some of the other pickups that they made recently. I don't know how you feel about some of these.
Well, wait. We got to talk about the undrafted free agents.
Oh, the undrafted free agents.
You know, the one that really sticks out to me is that they got Jalen Smith, Lamar's wide receiver, when he was at Louisville. That was his go-to guy. So that was the one that really stuck out to me. We're really addressing the wide receivers here. They got Jalen Smith. Guy named Justin Christian. If we butchered your name, we apologize. Sean Monster out of Boise State. Blue Turf. I hate Boise State. Antoine Wesley out of Texas Tech. You know, another wide receiver. They address it O-line. They got a Cal guy.
Patrick McCarry.
Yeah, they got a Cal guy, so you know Kyle could be happy about that. He's gonna buy his jersey.
going over the top. Yeah.
Another O-line guy out of UVA, Marcus Applefield, run UVA, gorgeous campus. Some outside linebackers, Texas A&M Commerce, which I didn't even know they had a football team. Some more Pac-12 love. We got a DB out of Colorado, Evan Worthington. Maybe he could be the next Jimmy. Who knows? Hey, man, I am having, you know, I'm trying to be optimistic over here. Oh, wait, this guy got cut already. CJ Too Good, because I remember that name, and we were joking about how your name could be Too Good, and you got cut. But he was a CAA guy, so shout out to the CAA. That's my school, because I went to Towson. But, yeah, let's talk about some of the free agent signings. Which the one I love. Oh, well, first of all, we got to say welcome back to Pernell McPhee. A prodigal son comes home. He was out there in Chicago. He had a subpar.
He went to Washington, too, last year.
I didn't even remember him playing in Washington.
Yeah, he was Pernell McPhee at Washington. Let me see how I say this. He didn't even have a sack last season. So I think everybody needs to temper expectations. He played in 13 games last year. He didn't start any. He got that big deal in, you know, in Chicago. And he played there for 3 years. And, you know, he was, I mean, he played a, you know, I just, I mean, 17 games in three seasons. I mean, 17 starts in three seasons is kind of eh.
That's a season.
Yeah. I mean, out of you know, three. No, I'm saying out of three seasons.
But I'm saying he started a full.
You, right, and
in those 3 seasons, he started a
only
full
one full season, exactly. And that's not what you want in a guy that you pay that much money. But at the same time, as a depth guy, I'm not upset with the move. No. You know, I think Pernell McPhee, he provides veteran leadership. You can call that whatever you want. Some people are like, oh, that's overrated. I also feel like he sets the edge. You know, and they don't have any guys that I'm like, besides Jalen Ferguson, we're going to wait and see what happens. But with Tim Williams and Tyus Bowser, it's more of a what have you done for me lately kind of thing where they're going to sign these two guys. They also signed Shane Ray. But I mean, we could get in.
I love that signing. Like, I came across my Twitter feed and I was like, are you serious? Shane Ray? No, for real? That's insane. I couldn't believe it, but that also tells me that I don't think Tyus Bowser is, like, on the clock because he's putting in some work last year, and I think he got a sack last year too. I'm thinking Tim Williams is about to be on the chopping block. He needs to have a strong preseason, and all those outside – I mean, all those pass rushers just tells me that either – they don't have faith in Tim, or they want him to have one more year of development and work it, which, you know, I mean, that's okay, I guess. But by this point, you know, you either got it or you don't. And I think Tim's been here, what, 3 years? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Tim's been here about 3 years. But Tyus is, you know, they're going to put him in a rotational guy. I think they're big on Tyus Bowser. I think that this is a make-or-break preseason. Not even year. Make-or-break preseason for Tim Williams. What do you think?
I mean, I agree with you. Because when you bring in a guy like Shane Ray, who I thought should have been, like in 2015, I remember when Shane Ray was coming out, I was like, the Ravens need to get this dude. They need to get him. And I think now you got him. But he had a broken hand. I want to say, did he have a broken wrist last year? Or was it a broken? I can't remember. But, I mean, injuries have kind of plagued Shane Ray. But, like, when he was fully healthy, and the last time he was fully healthy was in 2016, he had 8 sacks. And, I mean, you know who else had 8 sacks last year? I want to say Matt Judon. So, honestly, and I know that was 3 years ago. Everybody's going to flip out about that. But, oh, yeah, Matt Judon had 8 sacks in 2017. My bad. Let me correct myself. And had 7 sacks last year. But I think Shane Ray, if he's healthy, you sign him to this 1-year deal, He can explode, and then the Ravens will have a steal. Not only that, but guess what? Chain Ray's 26 years old.
Yeah, he's a young
guy. He's 26 years old, and then you add him to this defense. I'm like, that sounds like a plan to me. Oh, yeah, guess what? Today's Chain Ray's birthday, so happy birthday, Chain Ray. Go out and get him now.
Yeah, happy birthday, Shane. Hope all is well. Welcome to the flock. And great to have you here. It's going to be nice to see him, you know, with the other pass rushers that we have. That defense, I mean, the way that, you know, Eric DaCosta is starting to build this team is looking scarier and scarier with each passing day that goes by. And, I mean, that defense is set. It's solid. I don't think anyone's going to have to worry about the defense. The onus is now is going to be on Lamar. And can he improve in year two and not go through a sophomore slump, you know? Yeah, I mean, and I hate nitpicking and I hate, like, getting on him and everything like that. But we see the snaps and we see the Instagram videos of him, you know, riding around and flossing and flexing. But is he putting as much work in the gym and with his receivers as he is, like, flossing and flexing on the gram and snap? And I hope so. You know, is he digging deep into that playbook? Because, I mean, we're right on the door for a Super Bowl run. I honestly believe that with the way that the offseason is shaped up, with the signings that we got pre-draft, with the signings that we got post-draft, with the draftees that we have, if you develop them right, If you know, I mean, there's a lot of ifs, you know, right development, right schemes, right plays, but is everyone dialed in and is everyone, like, focused on the mission to bring Baltimore another championship? And is Lamar out, you know, I mean, Lamar had a decent year, but with everyone saying he can't pass, from former Ravens, Shannon Sharp, was like, oh, you know, Hollywood Brown is a great signing, but your quarterback can't throw. You know, everyone is saying that this man can't throw. Are you going to be out there, you know, not you don't have to prove anyone wrong because you made it to the league, but do you want to sit there and say, hey, I got this, you know, shut your mouth. I'm the quarterback. I am a quarterback that can run, not a running back that can throw. So, I mean, it's up to Lamar to really put in the work that's required to put in work and elite this team. It's his team now. What are your thoughts? I just want, like, a long-ass rant.
No, you're fine. I mean, me personally, I don't think the Ravens are setting up for a Super Bowl run. Not this season. I think it's going to take some time. And I know everybody's like, all right, well, you know, I think people – I feel like people need to temper their expectations. And there's nothing wrong with that. I don't think necessarily that the Ravens are going to be a horrendous team this year. But I also don't feel like – I mean, playoffs, we'll see what happens. Because I think you lose so much veteran leadership that, I mean, I feel like somewhere that has to hurt you a little bit. I feel like down the line, you know, we'll see what happens. But you also get Earl Thomas. So you get a lot of the veteran leadership right there. And, you know, we'll see what happens. I'm not low on them, but I'm also not extremely high like I guess so many other people are. But then also you get Michael Floyd. I mean, yeah. I think Michael Floyd's just a guy at this point because, I mean, he's, you know, you get a guy that had two DUIs who, you know, he used to be a very – you know, talented receiver that came out of Notre Dame. And I'm like, you know, if the Patriots couldn't get him right.
I was going to say, is that the guy that used to play for the Patriots?
Yeah, he played for the – yeah, Michael Floyd played for Arizona, got the DUI, and then played with the Patriots right after. And then he went to Minnesota, and then he only had 78 yards in 2017. And then he was with Washington. Yeah, when he was in Washington, he only had 100 yards last year. So the Ravens are just picking up another camp body. In my honest opinion, I think to push Jordan Lasley and Jahleel Scott. You know, they want to see what they got from them. So they're getting another guy to push them. And I think Michael Floyd is that extra you know, receivers. So it's, I mean, Seth Roberts is going to be on the team regardless. But Michael Floyd, I think, you know, you just get him. You see what he can do. If he impresses you and he looks like a good veteran target, you keep him on the team. If not, I mean, you're not losing anything when you cut bait. Or maybe you could trade him for like a 6th, 7th round pick if somebody's intrigued by him.
All right, and before we continue, because we went through like this crazy part of the show, it's time to tell you about DMVSN's library of podcasts. Right now, we have 9 active shows, including Half Street, High Heat, team shows from the Redskins, Capitals, Nationals, Wizards, and Ravens, Fantasy Fever, dealing with all things fantasy football, a pair of mixed bag shows from It's About Time, DC, and Dom and Thunder, a debate show, DMV Dispute, which is available via live stream on Twitter. All of these shows can be found wherever podcasts are available. I went through that whole thing without messing up. I'm so mad. Can be found, including Spotify. So please check out these shows. And if you like any of them, please leave a review or subscribe on all platforms. 5 stars only. So back to all the camp bodies. I think that what the Ravens have done, I mean, they've gotten some pretty interesting pieces and some big names. I think what, you know, like I said, what the Ravens have done is, and you're going to kill me for making this reference, but remember when, like, Oregon was, like, the ish back in the day, you know, like 07, between, like, 2010? They did not have, like, a single top 10 recruiting class in that entire span. What they got was a bunch of guys that fit the way that they play. And I think that's what you're seeing with the Ravens now. I think Eric DaCosta is building the Ravens in his brand of what Ravens football should be. A couple like guys that really fit the mold with high energy and high motor, and guys that really want to like put in like the grind and get the dirty work. Also like my favorite NBA coach, Greg Popovich, says, I want to see some nasty. So I think that's what you're seeing right now with the Ravens. And it's some names that you know, some names you might not know, but it's going to be really interesting. I don't think they're going to win the Super Bowl this year, but I'm telling you, they're pretty close to getting the formula right for a Super Bowl team.
I mean, a formula, I think, has to be developed over time. I know I'm like being cautiously optimistic, but you know, that's the way I look at it. I feel like it's coming. I feel like it's coming, but it's something that they all right, Jon Snow. We don't need any freaking we don't even need any Game of Thrones references.
I don't even watch Game of Thrones. That's the funniest part about it.
Neither do I. I mean, I watch one episode. And then I looked into like the whole lore of Game of Thrones, but whatever. Who cares? It's Game of Thrones. I mean, it's about to be gone tomorrow. Forever.
My roommate's crying in the back.
Hey, you know, it is what it is. Honestly, sci-fi movies are better than any medieval movies.
It is not medieval. Show.
It's a phony. It's like you know what it's based off of medieval times, though. It's based off of medieval times, though. It's a fantasy show, yes. And it's not a real, like, this place isn't real. But it's a medieval, like, the timeline that is based off. So, like, all right, for instance, Westeros is based off of UK in the 1400s.
I'm not debating I know it's a medieval show. I'm saying the way you're saying medieval.
All right, whatever. No, I don't care. It doesn't matter. We're done with this. We're not talking about Game of Thrones. We can talk about how the X-Men movie is going to be really good, though. Surprisingly.
Can we get hot takes?
Can we give hot takes about movies real quick?
All right, let's do it.
All right, so what's your biggest hot take of the summer for movies?
My hot take is that the new X-Men movie, the post-credit scene, is going to feature some way of the X-Men being in the MCU.
Yo.
I'm telling you. Yo, people be really sleep on this. I've been watching. Look.
I'm going to cry.
My roommate has been making fun of me because, like, right before Endgame came out, I've been doing nothing but watching all these conspiracy theories and all these, like, what happens or what if and, like, possible outcomes of Endgame reviews. And he's like, you're going to wind up spoiling it, which I didn't, by the way.
We still haven't spoiled Endgame in this.
Oh, no. We can spoil it now.
No, we don't do it. Don't do it because some people haven't watched it.
It's almost June. If you haven't
still don't do it.
If you haven't seen Endgame by now, you just don't want to see it. Hot take. But my hot take for the movie this summer is that the new X-Men movie post-credit scene will introduce – don't do the Thanos snap – will introduce the X-Men or – it could bring in Deadpool or something like that. It's gonna, I'm telling you, that hot take. That's why I'm really gonna go see this X-Men movie.
Well, I'm definitely going to go watch the X-Men movie because X-Men, they're my favorite team from Marvel. Fantastic Four is actually my number two team, so this is gonna be extremely fun. I know they make crappy Fantastic Four movies, but let's be honest about F4. First of all, Fantastic Four, it's no reason why they should have sucky movies. Fantastic Four, they're known as the first family of Marvel. And the reason that the fact of the matter is they shouldn't suck. Like, you should not have, for, I mean, not only that, but John Krasinski should play Mr. Fantastic. If John Krasinski isn't Mr. Fantastic, I'm going to be utterly disappointed. Also, his wife should probably be Mrs. Fantastic because, I mean, or... I said Mrs. Fantastic. I'm thinking of freaking Incredibles, like Elastic Girl and stuff, whatever. But she should be the Invisible Woman. I think Emily Blunt would be a great Invisible Woman. I wonder who you would get to play the Thing and Johnny Storm, because last time you had Johnny Storm, the best Johnny Storm in my honest opinion was Chris Evans. Sorry, Michael B. Jordan, but you just work better as Killmonger. But
Chris Evans can't play.
Chris, I know he can't. I know he can't play Chris. I mean, I know you can't play him, but like I'm saying, you got to get somebody that's up and coming like Chris Evans was at the time. You know, you got to get some young hotshot person to play, you know. I mean, that would be cool to me. Emily Blunt could play, you know. She could play Invisible Woman, and then I don't know who you get to play the Thing, but that'd be interesting. But I think I do agree with you on that. I think that they introduce, I mean, somehow the mutants get introduced. And my hot take is that the mutants got introduced with the Hulk snap. I think that when he snapped, he was like,
didn't you just say not?
I mean, but you already, you just said, yeah, but that's not even, okay, but nobody, no, okay, whatever. I said that, I was like, you, okay.
Spoil Endgame, and you just spoiled it.
You literally said, it doesn't matter, blah, 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 and I was like, okay. And so I was like, all right, let's forget it, let's do it then. But whatever, I mean, and then not only, but my real hot take is, I think the X-Men movie is going to be one of the best non-MCU. It's going to be the best non-MCU Marvel movie ever.
It looked good.
Because I think it's damn near comic book accurate from what I've seen so far, except for the costumes. But, I mean, how much can the costumes be accurate, you know? So, I mean, that to me is cool. The one thing is no more, the thing that I like the best is that it's no more this Magneto trying to get control of Dark Phoenix. He can't do it. How are you gonna get control of Dark Phoenix? Plus Dark Phoenix, they actually go into space in X-Men. Like, they've never, like, in none of the other X-Men, you know, movies, TV, I mean, like, the TV shows, yes, but in the movie, they have never gone to space in the three X-Men movies up until, and then they didn't go into space during Days of Futures Past. They didn't do any of that stuff, and now you got this X-Men movie where they actually go into space. I think that Jessica Chastain's character is going to be Lilandra. But I don't think it's going to be a comic accurate version of Lilandra. I don't know. Because, I mean, she's trying to get, like, control over Jean Grey and stuff. But we'll see what happens.
So, all right. So, that's our hot take on the summer movies. Also, I just want to throw it out there. Detective Pikachu wasn't that bad. Yeah, I actually enjoyed it. So when I went to go see it, I don't know how this went from a Ravens podcast to a movies review, but whatever. We're here. We're in this space.
Super Smash Brothers.
Yo, I saw that on Facebook. Like, if someone like were somehow to some way to make a Super Smash Brothers movie, I'd be all over it.
They need to make a Metroid movie.
All right, I'm gonna have a couple hot takes for you. So one, it's not really a hot take. This is a review. Detective Pikachu wasn't that bad of a movie. I went into it with like really low expectations because I was like, like y'all have the potential of messing up my childhood over here. I'm talking about someone that like. One of their first movies they went to go see in theater was Pokemon 2000. So that really, like, you know, resonates with me. And I was kind of nervous, though, because I went into it. I was like, I'm not going to know any of these Pokemon. I might know, like, three or four based off the trailer I saw alone. But I knew a good chunk of the Pokemon in the movie. So that was pretty cool. But the ending was just kind of weird. But I liked it. Anyway, here's another hot take. Everyone is like doo-dooing on Sonic the Hedgehog. I think it's going to be a decent movie. And the only reason why I think so is because I think Jim Carrey is going to carry that whole movie. And I heard they were going to redo Sonic anyway. But we'll see. I'm all for the Sonic the Hedgehog movie. That was the second video game I ever owned. Shows you how old I am. I'm that old. The first video game I ever owned was The Lion King on Sega Genesis. And then my mom got me Sonic the Hedgehog.
I mean, you know, I still think, like, I mean, me personally, I know they already did the whole Dragon Ball movie, which was terrible. We're not even going to talk about that. We're not even going to talk about the Dragon Ball movie.
Oh. Make me angry. I thought you were going to say a Dragon Ball live action film.
Well, they already did one, no, and it was god awful.
It doesn't exist.
They're going to do, they've already, like,
it doesn't exist.
Okay, these people, other people have made a new one, and it's actually good.
No.
And it was based off of the history of Trunks, and it was very good.
No.
It was very good.
No.
You got to watch it.
No.
You are going to watch it. No. We're going to watch it legitimately right after this pod.
No.
All right, then, whatever. Give me the script. We need to close this out, because you wanna slander.
I'm
so
slandering
live action Dragon Ball.
Dragon Ball Super Broly was it.
I love Dragon Ball Super Broly. That was a really good movie. And also, going back to Endgame, I cried like a baby at the end of that scene.
Yeah, we're not even gonna spoil. Let's not spoil that part.
You just spoiled Hulk snapping his fingers.
Okay, but we're not gonna spoil the end.
I cried really bad. Like, at first, like, at towards the end, it was like tears, like little tears. Then, like, right at the end of a certain point, like, it was sniffles. And then right before the movie ended, it was just it was bad. Like, all my friends, like, sitting there looking at me like, is this guy serious right now? And, like, I cried on my way out the theater. It was bad. It was really bad. Almost cried during the Spider-Man Far From Home trailer too. I was really mad about that.
This is bad. This is very, very bad. That'll about do it for us here. I hope you guys all enjoyed the show. And, you know, if you did, you always gotta subscribe to us.
5 stars only.
5 stars. Give us some love on iTunes, on Spotify. You gotta subscribe to us. We don't care what it is, just subscribe and listen all the time. You can follow me on or at Kyle Andrews or Kyle J Andrews _. I keep forgetting I have 2 Twitters now. You know, gotta flex. Ultimate flex. And you can follow my boy Anthony Barkley. Where can they follow you at?
I only have 1 Twitter. And that's A Barkley, AYEEBARKLEY, which is also the same handle on my Instagram.
A flex. don't forget to check out DMVSportsNetwork.com. Follow them on Instagram and Twitter at DMV_SN. And if you want to join the team, you already know what to do. You got to contact them via Twitter, the website, or shoot them an email at DMVSportsNetwork@outlook.com. thank you guys for listening, and I'm praying to God that we get a show in next week, right?
Maybe. I got a DJing gig, so we'll see. I'm going to try. Maybe you and Eric, but I got a DJing gig next week.
All right, we're closing it out. See you guys later.
Book down the field. Book. Coverage on the end. Caught! What a grab! Barkin still on his feet! Happy New Year, Irish! LSU was trying to stay away from man coverage to avoid issues like this. They had been playing zone, but they went back to who they are. And Jackson against Boykin seemed like a good matchup, except for the size and leaping ability of Boykin. And then he throws Jackson out of the way, and you got yourself a big, big score for the Irish.
And what do you say about Ian Book?